You may not have all that you want in this life. You may have leanness in this life for a time or for your entire life. But if you live in the fear of God, you always have Him. And that will be more than enough. That will bring satisfaction where a rich man's feast will not.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hello, I'm Bill Wright. Today we continue in Tom's powerful series on Psalm 23. Friend, what needs have you brought before the Lord lately? Physical needs, spiritual longings, burdens that keep you awake at night? Well, here's what Psalm 23 reveals. Our Shepherd King doesn't just hear your prayers, He delights in answering them. Yes, God meets our daily needs, our physical requirements. But friend, there's something even greater happening here. He's meeting your spiritual needs. And here's the beautiful truth that changes everything. God's shepherding care isn't just for today, it's eternal. He cares for you in this life and the life to come. Friend, have you come to know this great God? Have you fallen under His shepherding care? Let's discover these truths together right now, here on The Word Unleashed.
Israel, as is true for many of the countries in the world with the greatest number of sheep, is dry and semi-arid. In Israel, except for a few months in winter and early spring, most of the year is very dry. The landscape is barren. It can be difficult in many places to even find a few blades of grass. In addition, sheep in Israel are commonly pastured in the wilderness. They're pastured in the wilderness so that the better land can be used for crops. So, sheep grazing in England is not the picture here. David shepherded in Bethlehem. This is a picture of what sheep grazing in Bethlehem looks like. It's a totally different picture. The typical pasture is parched land that doesn't receive enough rainfall to sustain crops. But it grows enough grass to support flocks as long as they keep moving. So one of the shepherd's primary tasks is to find good pasture for his flock. Not just in the rainy season when it's easy, but all year long. You see what David is saying? In spite of the difficult conditions, and he knew them firsthand, he shepherded in Bethlehem. He said, in spite of how hard it may be, our shepherd makes sure that his sheep have the best pastures, have green pastures. In other words, our shepherd will go to extraordinary lengths to make sure our needs are met. But there's a still deeper meaning in this expression. Sheep will not lie down and rest if they're still hungry. They're going to stay on the move, looking for that next bunch of grass, looking to satisfy their hunger and appetite. They're a lot like my kids. And the shepherd of Psalm 23 will stop at nothing to discover the best place for his sheep to eat. And he provides so well for them that their hunger is completely satisfied. And when they've eaten their fill, they lie down to rest. And even though the sheep have eaten everything they want, and they lie down with their hunger satisfied, they are still surrounded by green grass, an abundance. You see, the picture in this expression is not merely of God's provision, but of abundant provision. Now, look at the second way that David describes God's provision for us. Not only he makes me lie down in green pastures, but secondly, he leads me beside quiet waters. Our shepherd not only provides food for his sheep, but water as well. Like us, the body of a sheep consists of about 70% water on average. And the water that they so desperately need comes primarily in Israel from three sources. One of them may surprise you, and that is dew on the morning grass. In some areas, sheep can go a long time without actually drinking when it's not too hot, simply by eating the grass that has the dew on it. A second source of getting water is wells, and the third source is springs and streams. Now, literally, look at verse 2 again. Literally, David says, "Beside waters of rest, he leads me." Besides waters of rest, he leads me. Our shepherd leads his sheep to the best watering holes. Now, it's a little difficult to decide exactly what David meant here. Specifically, David may have meant by this expression, "He leads me beside a slow-moving stream." You see, sheep are fearful and skittish creatures. Philip Keller, he's very insightful when it comes to sheep, and he recounts an event from his own sheep herding days. A friend of his from the city came to visit and brought with her a little Pekingese dog. A flock of 200 sheep had been resting quietly nearby. As soon as they saw that little dog get out of the car, to a sheep, they all leapt to their feet and ran away at full speed. They're easily thrown into a panic. So in spite of their thirst, sheep will refuse to drink from a stream if the water in the stream is running too rapidly. So because of this tendency, it's not uncommon for shepherds to have to move some large rocks in the stream bed into place in order to create a little dam that slows the flow of the water and that collects some water in a little basin. Only then, after it's been carefully prepared, will the sheep actually drink. So if this is what David is saying, then his point would be that our shepherd will expend whatever energy is necessary in order to make sure that our needs are met. Or David may have meant, "He leads me beside waters where sheep can drink all they want and then rest." Often in Israel, the sources of water are not flowing streams, but small pools of water. They're shaded places where weary sheep can find both rest and refreshment. Sometimes this takes the form of a desert oasis. Other times there are pools hidden in the shadow of a cliff or in the shadow of some rocks where the sun has not been able to evaporate the water and where there's a natural spring. Such pools of water may be what David had in mind. If so, his point here is similar to the green pastures. Our shepherd leads his sheep to watering holes or to oases that have more than enough. And after they've drunk their fill, they can lie down and rest. And when they're done resting, if they want to, they can get up and drink again. Clearly then, in verse 2, David intends to remind us of God's amazing and abundant provision for all the needs of those who are his sheep. Now, those are wonderful promises. Sadly, many Christians read these promises and come to mistaken conclusions about what David meant. It's important to understand, and you know I do this all the time to you, but it is important to understand what this does not mean. This does not mean that every true believer will be wealthy. Sadly, this text has been used to make that very point. Compare that with even our Lord Jesus Christ. Who enjoyed more of God's blessing than he? And yet, Matthew 8:20, Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I could take you to Luke 16 and show you the parable Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. And here is this true believer who closes his eyes on this life and opens them in the presence of God, who lived in abject poverty, whose sores the dogs licked every day. So it's not true that every true believer will be wealthy. God's promise of provision also does not mean that no true believer will ever experience want or some sort of deprivation, is what that should say, for any period of time. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verses 2 and 3, Moses, talking about God's true people, the nation of Israel, says, "You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you. He let you be hungry. And then he fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Listen, there are times in our lives when God intentionally, for a time, deprives us, just as he did Israel, in order to see what's in our hearts, to let us see what's in our hearts as well, because he intends to meet that need in his own way and in a way that directs our dependence completely to him. Paul understood this. In 2 Corinthians 11:27, he said, I have been in labor and hardship. Now, don't forget, this is an apostle. Through many sleepless nights, I've been in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. In Philippians chapter 4, he's reflecting on all of that, and he says in verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. He'd experienced both. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. He knew it all. He experienced it all. So it is not true that no true believer will ever experience want or deprivation for any period of time. In fact, think about David himself. The one who wrote this psalm, in fleeing from Saul and from Absalom, David often found himself in want for a time. In fact, you remember at one point, the only option he had for food was eating what? The sacred bread at the tabernacle. That's all he had. So true believers may not be wealthy, and they may experience times of shortage and of leanness in their lives. You see, God in his providence may choose for us to live either for a time or in some cases and in some places in our world for a lifetime in leanness. But here's the key. If he does, he will consistently provide for the needs of his own, and in our leanness, he will bring spiritual blessing. You see, our Lord makes whatever he gives us satisfy. This is the promise. Whatever he gives us, he will give us strength and grace, and he will make it satisfy. Psalm 37:16 says, better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. Look at Proverbs with me, Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. It is the disposition of your heart in the end, rather than your circumstances, that affect your outlook on life, that affect your joy in life. Verse 16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables, and that's saying something, where love is, than a fattened ox served with hatred. You see what happens? God can take a little, and he can satisfy the hearts of the righteous. He can make it not just barely enough, he can make it more than enough. This is who our God is. Look at Hebrews 13. This is one of those great promises you ought to star and live under the shadow of. Hebrews 13:5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. And watch this. For, because, here's why you ought to be content, whatever he gives you. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Listen, you may not have all that you want in this life. You may have leanness in this life for a time or for your entire life. But if you live in the fear of God, you always have him. And that will be more than enough. That will bring satisfaction where a rich man's feast will not. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can have confidence in our shepherd. Not only does he make whatever he gives us satisfy, but he always provides what is best for his own. Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Psalm 84, 11. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. This doesn't mean that he gives you everything you want, but it means he gives you exactly what you need, what's best in his providence. Charles Spurgeon, commenting on this sort of contrast between the Lord providing what we need and it not always being what we want, says this: I may not possess all that I wish for, but I shall not want. It is not only I do not want, but I shall not want. Come what may, if famine should devastate the land or calamity destroy the city, I shall not want. Old age with its feebleness shall not bring me any lack, and even death with its gloom shall not find me destitute. I have all things in abound, not because I have a good store of money in the bank, not because I have skill and wit with which to win my bread, but because the Lord is my shepherd. God's promise of provision. Let me summarize the promises that are really found in these two verses, Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord promises his provision, and his provision for our needs is, first of all, comprehensive. Comprehensive. In other words, God meets both our physical needs and our spiritual needs. Now, on the face of it, the expressions in Psalm 23 might seem to be solely physical. You know, water, grass, that seems to be meeting just the physical need of sheep, and maybe that's all he has in mind. But it's not, because the psalm points to these provisions from God also being spiritual. Look at verse 3. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. We're not talking here just about the food you eat and the water you drink. We're talking about both your physical and your spiritual needs. Notice verse 6. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's certainly more than physical needs being met. So understand then, when I say it's comprehensive, his provision, I mean it's for our physical needs. There's no question about that. If we had time, I'd take you back to Matthew 6. You remember we studied in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, why would you worry? Why would you worry about what you're going to eat when God feeds the birds of the air? Are you not worth more than they? Your Father knows you need these things, so seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. God's going to take care of your physical needs. In his time and in his way, there may be periods of leanness to teach us lessons, but he's always in charge. He's always our good shepherd. But he also meets, in addition to our physical needs, our spiritual needs. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And in the context, he's talking about all of the spiritual things we need to live this life in a way that honors and pleases him, even through the trials and the troubles. If God loved us so much that he gave his son for us, really, he's not going to shepherd us and provide the spiritual needs of this life for us? 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Our shepherd meets our needs in a way that is comprehensive. Secondly, he meets our needs in a way that is consistent. In his time, in his way, according to what he has determined is best for each sheep, he meets our needs. It's consistent. He just always does in his way. And according to his plan. Thirdly, his provision is abundant. Remember, he makes us lie down in green pastures. When we have had all we need, there's still more. Fourthly, his provision for us is appropriate. just as a shepherd knows what each sheep needs, and all of his sheep need green pastures and quiet waters, our shepherd knows exactly what we need, and that is what he provides. I don't know where you find yourself, and I don't know what your needs may be, but I can promise you this, if you know Jesus Christ, if you know God through his Son, he is your shepherd, he knows what you need, and he will provide. And finally, God's provision for our needs is eternal. I love this. Notice verse 1, I shall not want, as Spurgeon pointed out, that's looking to the future, ever. Our shepherd will always provide. And I love the way the psalm finishes. Surely goodness and steadfast love will follow me all the days of my life, every day of this life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's eternal. Christian, you will not want or lack anything that you truly need physically or spiritually in this life or in the life to come. In fact, turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. I love how this picture comes back as we look to the eternal future. Revelation 7, verse 13. You remember the scene. One of the elders said to John, these who are clothed in the white robes, who are they and where have they come from? This massive crowd. Verse 9, which no one could count from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues standing before the throne, clothed in white robes. One of the elders asked John, who are these people? Verse 14, I don't know, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who've come out of the great tribulation. These are those saved during the tribulation period, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now watch this. And this isn't just true of tribulation saints. This is true of all saints for all time. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. They live in his house. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst any more, nor will the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see, our shepherd's commitment is not just for this life. It's forever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. What a shepherd we have. Let's pray together. Father, we are overwhelmed by your goodness to us. That we who once were your enemies, that we who hated you, who had strayed from you, our Creator, that you sought us out in Christ. You made us your own. And in him you have become our shepherd, the shepherd of our souls. Father, I pray for those who are going through really difficult times, wondering if their physical needs will be met, whether it's the need for a job or the fear of losing one or some physical struggle or some health issue. Father, maybe there are those here who are struggling responding to the trials of this life, the difficulties that you have allowed to come, and their soul feels overwhelmed. Lord, I pray that you would remind them of who you are from this passage. May they be reminded that you're still their shepherd, and that you will, in your time and in your way, meet every need as you see best. Father, help us to trust you. Help us to remember those two great words, Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has led us, and Yahweh Jireh, the Lord will provide. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed with part 4 of his series, Psalm 23. Tom will have part 5 next time, and we do hope you'll join us then. But Tom, before we end our time today, could you highlight why David, in Psalm 23, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, describes God in terms of a shepherd?
You know, that is a common metaphor that's used in the Old Testament, and we've seen that as we've studied Psalm 23 together. God is the shepherd, and we as his people are his sheep. Sheep are the most dependent and helpless of the domesticated animals that God made. They can do almost nothing for themselves. They can't find their way. They can't care for themselves. They can't defend themselves. They can't provide the grass and water that they need. They are completely dependent upon their shepherd for everything. And that is exactly why we desperately need a shepherd to lead us. We are lost sheep. And not only do we need a shepherd to lead us, but also to provide for us. And Psalm 23 powerfully reminds us that God is our shepherd king.
Thanks, Tom. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.